This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Good afternoon and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent DeHart is out for the rest of the week. And so we have special guests sitting in for Brent today. And today we have Denise Quinn.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Denise. Thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
It's kind of hard to do by myself, but yeah. I could do it if I needed to.
If you had to?
I don't really want to.
It's more fun with a co-host.
Yes, it is.
It's a pleasure to be here. I always love being here and sitting in for Brent.
I appreciate it so much. And we have a special guest today.
We do. We have one and only Jeff Hyen, who is Marion County GOP chairman. He has come in to talk to us today about all kinds of things.
It's not like there isn't enough to talk about.
What's going on in the Capitol? What's going on? We are the capital city. There's always something going on here.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a big things going on here today. But Jeff here. First of all, Jeff, welcome to the program. It's great to have you on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having the opportunity to be here.
Yeah. Marion County Republicans have been a little bit in the spotlight lately. We had
Busy.
Recently, sadly, we lost our beloved SD10 Senator Jackie Winters passed away, which opened up her seat. And there's a process that we have to go through to fill that seat. So one of the things I wanted to chat with today is to kind of inform people about what that process looks like, how important that process is, and what the timeline is, and just kind of give people a primer on what it looks like when a seat like that opens up.
Right. Yeah. Well, the short of it is really quick. It's 30 days.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there were some people who were getting a little prickly about that. It's like, no, actually, we have to, there's a timeline.
State law
yeah. mandates and dictates that we have to fill that. So it's not like anybody was, you know, rushing in or anything like that. Nothing inappropriate or untoward about it at all.
No. So the short of it really is, as soon as that becomes officially vacant, right, the Secretary of State, I think, notifies the chair of the Oregon Republican Party and says, hey, you got an opening, you got to fill, and you got 20 days, timer starts, now go.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we have 20 days to hold an election, basically. It's a nominating convention, officially is what it's called, but we have 20 days to do it. So you got to find location, notification to everybody and their cousin, you know,
right,
to let them know the opening is there, and then you have to actually do that. And the way it works is state law says you have to put forth between 3 and 5 names to be considered then by the county commissioners of the affected counties. In this case, Senate District 20, 10, includes House Districts 19 and 20, which covers a little bit of Polk County.
Right.
So it's going to be Polk County commissioners involved in it, too.
Mm.
And we can get to the sticky of all that with weighted votes and stuff. But so we had to put forward 3 to 5 names. The first vote that happens in that process is how many names to put forward. So, of course, you argue about bylaws and rules and everything for half an hour, and then you figure out we're doing 3. So we put 3 people forward.
Right. So that process happened last Friday.
Yep.
So found a venue, assembled all the so this is PCPs at this point. So it's the precinct committee persons, which is an elected office.
That's right.
It's kind of that first layer of elected office.
Elected and appointed in this case.
And appointed in this case. And so it gathered everybody together. There's credentialing that goes on. Everybody gathers. It was a lovely spot, a Friday evening. People gave up a Friday evening to do this. It's that important.
Yep.
So we
should note, too, Jim Bernoe, Willamette Valley Vineyards, man.
Stepped up. There were probably at least 100 people there.
Oh, easily.
And so to try to divide a venue in that short of notice. So yeah, kudos for and thanks very much.
We appreciate him for sure.
Willamette Valley Vineyards. Plus, it was just beautiful to drive up there and go, yeah, I can do this here. Right. I'm good.
But we couldn't let anybody drink wine because we wanted folks to have a sane sense of mind when they voted. You know,
I have to admit, I did have some wine when we were all done.
Shh.
Not there though. So we did. So we had everybody gathering. So there was that process there. The 3 names we put forward are ORP Secretary Becky Mitz, current state HD 19 Representative Denise Bowles, and then Polk County Republican Party Chairman Kevin Chambers.
Yes.
All 3 of those went through. We had a number. How many candidates do we have total? 7?
7. Well, we had some folks expressed interest, but they didn't get nominated, or I don't think some of them were at the meeting. And so, you know, we ended up with 7 up on the stage.
Yeah.
One that I didn't hear about until that night. So, I mean, it can happen.
Right. Nominations from the floor, all of that.
And so then everybody did their speeches.
Yeah. Answered questions. Good questions from the audience.
Really good questions.
Yeah, very good. And so then the process. And then, again, you want to talk a little bit about weighted votes? I don't know if everybody understands what a weighted vote is. It was one person, one vote.
Yeah.
But that's not, I don't think, what people think
it
means.
So just to kind of cover all that is, in the end, actually the one with the most, quote, votes that represented all the people, Becky Mitz actually got more.
Right.
By a little bit. But the actual votes themselves,
yes,
that was Denise.
Denise.
And so it's interesting how weighted votes work. So in short, every person that was there is a precinct committee person that represents a precinct that's like your neighborhood, right?
Yep.
And depending on the number of voters in the precinct, okay, and how many slots were filled in that precinct, there's a weight given to each vote. So a best example I can give is if you have two precincts, equal number of Republican voters in them, and one, they both have 10 PCP slots, and in one I've got all 10 spots filled, and in one I've only got one filled, that one guy has 10 times the vote power as those other 10.
Yeah.
So that's why when it comes down to one vote, one, no, not quite, because they're weighted.
They're weighted.
One guy in there was in a precinct, I think it's 340. His vote weight was 1,000.
Yeah. My vote weight was 195.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why when you tally it all up, we have to use the weighted vote sheet. And then there's some where, you know, there is PCPs in the thing, but they didn't show up. So their votes basically don't get a count because we only count the guy that was there, his vote weight. It gets tricky.
It does.
It makes it all the more important why this is one of the reasons why we try to balance PCPs out across the districts, and sometimes they end up serving in an adjacent precinct. It isn't because we don't want them representing their neighbors, but we want to give them more power, if you will, should something like this happen.
I've had people ask me, you're not sure what a PCP is. Is that a primary care physician? It's like, nope, that's actually a precinct committee person. And again, like I mentioned, it's an elected position.
Right.
And people will see those names. A lot of times they're on your ballot. And so, you know, you need three votes to become elected.
If you are written in.
If you are written in.
Right.
So I want to backtrack a little bit to PCPs in a moment, but then just to finish up the process on SD10. So now we have those three people who are now going forward. So on June 25th, at 8:30 in the morning.
That's the latest we've heard.
That's the latest we've heard. Those three candidates will then go before the Marion County Commissioners and the Polk County Commissioners together in a meeting.
Right.
To, at this point, I don't know that they're speechifying so much as they're being interviewed for the job.
That's right.
Yeah.
They are. They get, it has to be an open process because of open meeting laws.
Yeah.
And here again, even the county commissioners have weighted votes.
Doesn't, well, because most of that district is in Marion County. My understanding is Marion County has 20.66 and Polk County has 10.66 or something like that. Polk County has,
I think it's about a 65-35 split with respect to population. And so I'm not even sure. I think there's three commissioners over in Polk.
There are
is
three,
that right?
Yes.
So those three commissioners only get 30% of the vote, 33% roughly, and a 35. And then the Marion County commissioners, those three guys, actually, their weight is 65%, so they have a bigger sway. And this is really interesting and important when you get into, let's take HD 18 that we did a while ago, right? That covers Marion and part of Clackamas. So Clackamas County, okay, Polk County and Marion County, solid Republican leadership there and the county commission.
Right.
Clackamas County, not so much. They got one poor Republican guy there, and I think four who are not so much Republican. Matter of fact, they're kind of not at all. And so that gets really interesting because now those people up there, those county commissioners, they aren't picking the best guy for the job if they're a Democrat, right?
Right. Well, okay.
They're not.
You'd hope
they're picking who they can beat the easiest in the primary.
That's the metric you're thinking.
So there's strategy involved here.
All right, we got to take a quick break. I'm Dave Bourne along with Denise Quinn. She's co-hosting for Brent today, and Marion County GOP Chair Jeff Hyen is sitting in with us today for the hour. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. We get back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne. Sitting with me is co-host today, Denise Quinn. She's in for Brent, who's out this week, and Marion County GOP Chair Jeff Hyen. And we pick up our conversation talking about what has to take place replacing Jackie Winters.
Yeah, the process.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to turn your mics on. Hey, sorry about that.
That's important that I,
whoops.
Yeah. Yeah, just the process that's been sort of ongoing since we lost Senator Winters and where we're at in it. And so we're heading up on now where the county commissioners have a say in that. So let's kind of fast forward a little bit. They go through that. The person is selected. If that person... The person that is selected is HD 19 Representative Denise Bowles.
Then we start all over again.
Start all over again, because that means that the HD 19 seat is now open.
That's
so we
right.
need to have somebody come in and fill that seat.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about the role and the importance of PCPs. I think maybe I'm wrong, but I get a lot of questions from people about, first of all, what does it stand for? What is it? But talk a little bit about really how important that role, that PCP role is within the county party and within sort of local politics in general.
Well, and this is the prime example, right, mm-hmm. of the main, one of the main duties of a precinct committee person, right? So to back up as to what it is, yes, mm-hmm. precinct committee people represent their neighborhood at the county central committee level. We have this in the Republican Party. We mm-hmm. also have it in the Democrat Party.
Yep, yep.
And even though independents are still, I think they're still a major voter class or major party status, I don't think they have that structure set up. But
the IPO, the actual
right,
independent
right.
party, not an independent voter. There's been some confusion
right.
about that when you sign. It's like you check because
right.
you might be signing on to the independent party.
Exactly. But so at least Republicans and Democrats do this, and it's an ape. You know, it's a structure, right? And so each of these people represent their neighbors, and that's why you see them on your ballot.
Yeah.
So they go and they can be appointed in between. It happens every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's actually a place where you fill out a form, you turn it in with the mm-hmm. county clerk's office, and you get on the ballot and you come out in front of your neighbors and you get their votes. And you can also, as you talked about, be appointed mm-hmm. or do a write-in campaign during. You can get appointed afterwards. And that's really interesting. And the biggest thing that they are charged with is exactly what we're doing now.
Yeah.
If there is a elected representative, be it a county commissioner, anything that's partisan.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have a role in it. Now, they don't get into like city council stuff. They don't do that.
Which are nonpartisan.
Because they're all nonpartisan.
Right.
But anything that is a partisan role, county commissioners, house reps, senators, all of that, that affects this county. If we have to replace one of them, that's where they step in and they have that voice. And so it's really important. And in this case with Senator Winters, it's not all the PCPs in Marion County. It's only the ones that live in that district.
Right, which made it about, I don't remember what, 234, I think it was, or something like that. I'm trying to remember.
No, the PCPs involved in SD10, about 75 or 80 of them.
Okay. So you think about that, those 75 people really have a very, very critical role to play.
Totally.
And so I try to encourage people to get involved. You know, why should I get involved in party politics? Why
right.
should I do that? This is why.
Yeah, and just, you know, the 75 to 80 people we're talking about
yeah.
is nowhere near what we could have.
Yeah.
Most people, because they don't really know what this is all about, you know, Marion County is probably has a pretty good, as one of the larger counties, at least a fairly good representation. Some of the smaller counties across the state are better, but numbers-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But in Marion County, there is over 800 spots for precinct committee people countywide.
And do we know what the percentage is that's filled?
Yeah, we have just shy of 200. Okay.
Wow.
Multnomah County, okay, yeah. we have more than they do. They have 1,800. So, you know, numbers-wise, we're doing better. But, yeah, it's one of those things like, hey, if you only knew, you could have a voice here. That's not the only thing they do. Of course, they also have to do with things like our budget. Where are we all authorized to spend money?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And coming up here real soon in August, we have what's called the Platform Convention.
The Platform Convention. I've done two of those. Those are Those are fascinating, frustrating.
Crazy.
They're crazy. They're amazing. But what they do is basically it is everybody within the party getting together to craft what it is that Marion or Oregon Republicans stand for.
That's right.
That's a critical document. It's sort of expanded and contracted over the years.
Trying to contract.
I'm voting for contracted. I think it should be really, really simple. I think it's gotten a little bit unwieldy. It's gotten so big. We try to hit on a lot of issues. It's kind of whack-a-mole at some point when you can't really address everything. We look at it from principle wise, but yeah, you're right. That is coming up again. And so PCPs then have a chance to run to be a delegate for that if they want to participate in
a bonus delegate. Now, we have an elected. This is the other thing. The PCPs are the ones who decide who their leadership at a county level is. Mm-hmm. So they voted for me. Mm-hmm. Will they again? Who knows? but they vote for the chair, vice chair, secretary, treasurer, and then a certain number of delegates based on population. Yeah. In Marion County, we have 4 additional delegates. Mm-hmm. And then total of 6 alternates that can take their place in case they can't make it to a state meeting. When we go to the platform convention, we get what's called bonus delegates. Mm-hmm. And Marion County gets an additional 12 bonus delegates.
Wow.
And then 12 alternates. So we could literally be taking like almost 30 people over to where this is going on over in Pendleton and having quite a party over there. but they go and they usually split up into the planks, which is kind of the areas of discussion, like you have family, you have natural resources, education, so on. And they go and they get to speak their passion and they get to support what they feel is important and what they think Republicans statewide should stand for.
It's a good exercise in being able to articulately speak to things that matter to you and have a voice and a say in what the party sort of writ large has and candidates who run that. Now, you know, there's been some concern about some candidates that don't necessarily abide by all the planks in the platform. I don't think that's necessarily the expectation that everybody is 100%.
Well, there's a misconception that drives that. But before we go further, one thing it's also a great way to learn Robert's rules.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we all love that, don't we? So, but you're right. There's a misconception in the party, in all parties, really, that somehow or another, the Oregon Republican Party is the ones who are picking your candidates.
No.
But they don't.
No. So who does, Jeff?
Generally speaking, it's PACs. Mm-hmm. It's a number of different people, but mainly PACs that lobby and lobbyists that go out, and they're trying to find someone to represent their interests. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we know about them, and sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we end up with someone on the ballot, and we're like, who's that?
Who's that?
You know? But yet we get, if you will, blamed that the party's the one that recruited such and such. And not necessarily. Now, I think we should have a role in that, and we're working on some ways to do that. But realistically speaking, we don't have that much of a say in who the candidates are.
Kind of about liberty and freedom and
people
picking, you know, a lot of the voters, the PCPs, the voters pick. That's what the primary is for at that point. That's where we vet a lot of our candidates that way who go on to the general. And that's the process.
That's right. And then we support generally whoever is the guy or gal who's set forward as the candidate.
So for SD 10, whoever is selected for that will fill. There'll be a special election though in 2020 at the normal election cycle.
Right.
So that person, whomever that is, will get in that chair. Then they're going to be pretty much going right into campaign mode.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to have to then go against whoever the presumptive Democrat challenger would be.
Well, that would be Paul Evans.
That would be Paul Evans.
It's pretty much expected.
So the person needs to be able to sort of, you know, go toe-to-toe in that election arena then with the Democrat candidate.
And we would hope that would be one of the main criterias that the county commissioners are going to use. Fortunately, they're all Republicans and they're on our side.
Mm-hmm.
but they would be using who's the best person to put forward here? A, that can do the job and has the requisite experience.
Yeah.
And B, can defeat we know who that's going to be coming after that job next time.
And that's important for the long term because
totally.
We want to keep that seat. And then the same thing with HD 19. We want to keep
exactly that seat. Exactly right.
Yeah. You got a couple minutes left.
Okay. So again, you've pretty much the PCP is sort of really is when you talk about grassroots, that's the grassroots.
It's grassroots.
It's the PCPs. It's everyday people. Many of whom I know on our side are volunteers. Everybody's working hard. They're out there trying to earn a living. They take extra time.
We don't have that money coming from unions and stuff.
We really don't.
Fortunately, Janus decision that attacked the public employee union things, or it didn't attack it, but it just sort of wheeled it back in, you know, That's starting to have an effect. Did anybody notice there's a building for sale in South Salem?
I did notice that, with a purple sign with yellow writing on it. Yeah, I did notice that.
One might wonder why that's for sale.
You know, there's some legislative end runs trying to be done around it as well, to try to usurp it. And I think that's starting to tick people off as well. It's very cynical.
Make your tax money pay for unions. Yeah. No, that's bad.
And then to sort of expose people's private information and let everyone know who,
Is there any shortage of just absolutely horrible, terrible bills that have come out of session this time?
This 2019 legislative session has been nightmarish.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's nightmarish.
Is there a total count of how many bills they tried to put through?
One could never keep
it's
up.
It's thousands.
It is. For the ones you actually hear about, there are thousands more behind it. I mean, you could ask one of those legislators.
That's crazy.
And they're working on this stuff right now for 2020. I guarantee it. They're creating stuff that would blow your mind.
Things that have been pulled off the table now, they're going to rear their ugly heads again in the short session, no doubt. We're also hearing rumors and hints and threats of a special session coming up, depending on what the
July,
Senate Republicans...
Possibly
July 2nd. So there's all kinds of...
Why would they do that?
Why wouldn't they do that?
Why would they hold a special session? Aren't they supposed to be done by June?
So they can continue to push forward what they want to get done.
And especially depending on what the Senate Republicans decide to do with regard, we've got a big rally going on, which when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more about, because there's big doings down at the Capitol today.
Yeah.
Today.
Big
doings. If you're trying to work in the Capitol, you might need some earplugs.
You might need some earplugs, but it's the sound of freedom, baby.
Nice.
Convoy.
This is Newsmakers. Denise Quinn is co-hosting with me today for Brent DeHart, and Marion County GOP Chair Jeff Hyen is joining us for the hour. I'm Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center. I'm Dave Bourne in Newsmakers without Brent today, so co-host Denise Quinn is joining me along with Marion County GOP Chair Jeff Hyen. Welcome back, people.
It's good to be here.
Absolutely.
Good to be here. Good to have you here, Jeff.
Thank you, man.
Kind of filling us in on...
Explaining how the
process
works.
Party politics.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of people have been kind of ticked off party politics, Republicans, Democrats, they're going back and forth. And a lot of people have decided to become non-affiliated. Then they're kind of realizing, well, I don't really have a say in the primaries because we have closed primaries in Oregon.
I've been speaking of that lately.
Yeah. So, how would you woo somebody who's sort of gone over to NAV land to come back over and to maybe dip their toe back into party politics and partner up with the Republicans?
Well, I think, we've been having a talk a lot with some of the folks that were really opposed to HB 3063, the Medical Freedom Mama Bears, right? Mm-hmm. Don't mess with Mama Bear.
Oh, my goodness. Man.
And the thing that they didn't understand, a lot of them, is... when they were down in that building and they were talking to people and they were trying to figure out who do I got to talk to get this stopped, all they were talking to was Democrats. Mm. Why is that? And I said, so while you were there, did you see any non-affiliates there? Any independents, any Green Party, whatever? No. It's a two-party gig, whether we like it or not. Hey, Washington would be furious right now. I totally get the history on that, right?
Yes.
It's a two-party gig. And so... you have to pick a side. Mm-hmm. The independents, like you noted, or any other party, do not get a say in the primaries. Mm-hmm. And so the key here is the first vote, right?
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, they count the ballots up. And if the Republicans are in the majority, they get to decide. And if the Democrats are in the majority, they get to decide. And what do they decide? Who leads what committee?
Mm-hmm.
Who sits on what committee? Whether a bill goes to committee, whether it gets put in the trash heap, whether it gets a hearing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They got all the cards.
Right. And we have supermajority. So the Republicans are in
supermajority
status right now.
So, supermajority. What does that do? That gives the voter zero chance of a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
We can't bring it back up. Now, Measure 88 a long time ago was one of an example.
2014.
We brought that back up for a vote. And it was soundly defeated.
Oh, it was 67%.
Yeah.
I think every county, with the exception of Multnomah County, and not by much.
No.
had a resounding vocal no, we don't want that. And so now it's coming back up again this session as HB 2015.
And how many bills out here have this little emergency clause put on them?
I listening to the clerk read the docket of bills the other day, and it was what
that's so good
called as an Make emergency them read was everything. An emergency was an emergency just reading the titles at that
right.
point and almost all of them. None of these things are an emergency.
They got a
There's
really,
very little
really
that would reach the threshold of an actual true
well,
emergency.
Well, their definition of an emergency is definitely not mine. But what that does
right.
is it may, gives...
It's a
it,
ploy. So,
it,
yeah.
takes away the opportunity for a referendum. Mm-hmm.
Which is for the citizens to have a say.
Yeah, they don't get a say. It's done. Sorry.
So now the citizens had a say in 2014 and resoundingly said no.
Right.
So now it's coming back up again as HB 2015. The
came
citizens
up.
Have came up.
Have, and was voted on.
Correct. Yes. So, again, the voice of the people from 2014 is basically null and void.
Yeah, because they put an emergency clause on it this time, so it couldn't go to the voters.
And there are many, many bills that have gone through the system and gone through the process that have that. Which now, is there another mechanism? Is it an initiative process? Is there anything else that voters
yeah,
can do?
Yeah, initiative process is a little different from a referendum. Mm-hmm. That's basically where you start from scratch and says, we propose to make a law that says this.
Yeah.
Which could be removing an existing law, but mm-hmm. it doesn't. Give the referendum is the tool used to pull something before it gets put into effect after the legislature has voted on it.
This, wow!
Yeah, this session is an exercise. I mean, it's
in
a
futility.
It's a, but it's an illustration of the old, you know, elections have consequences.
Oh boy,
I mean, we can
they.
Probably talk for hours about those of us and those individuals who sat it out because they didn't like a particular candidate, because they didn't, you know, tick all their boxes for them.
Exactly.
But, you know, unfortunately, we are now here. We're now in supermajority status with the Democrats ruling the roost and really pretty much having no reason at all to compromise, to work with anyone. They
right.
don't have to. They know it.
So one thing we missed on the supermajority, what uh-huh. that actually does is even if we had, let's say, we would have had a sane governor, or excuse me, a nice governor, who thinks the way we do in office. And they said, nope, that's a bad bill. Veto.
Mm-hmm.
Supermajority gives enough numbers in the House and Senate that they can say, eh, sorry, governor, we're going to do what we want. And they can override the veto of a governor.
So by that same token, let's go out to 2020 and say that people are fed up. I mean, I want to talk a little bit before we end up today about what is happening at the
right.
Capitol today, because people are
yeah.
up in arms.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if we manage to flip the House and the Senate and it goes 50-50 or goes Republican, you still have a Democrat governor in there
yep.
who can veto.
Yep. And without a supermajority, you right. can't override it. So it works both ways.
So I'm hoping that this session has awoken a lot of people. I know it has with 3063.
Oh boy, it has
to realize that, you know, that mix is necessary, that when one party has that much control and has for 30 plus years,
mm-hmm.
you get this.
And
so,
we're seeing some of the independent folks go, hey, wait, hold on a minute. I'm a Republican now, and they're coming.
I'm seeing Democrats that are saying
yeah.
I'm a Republican who are absolutely disgusted by the overreach and
totally.
and the sort of the blatant arrogance that we know better, not, you know, not for me, but
well, I mean,
the,
this bill that you're talking about with that overturned essentially the will of the voters mm-hmm. in Measure 88, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What they did, it just basically said, yeah, and the reasoning that they give behind it, well, we think that the public has changed their mind, therefore.
Yeah.
Well, my, you know, one of our representatives said, well, then give the public the opportunity to vote on it.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're just going to do it anyway.
You know, you're finding that mindset trickling down into local city governments
oh.
where it's like, we're just going to just pop this through.
Anybody
and,
sat
know.
On the bridge lately?
Oh,
right.
Yeah. That seems like every day there is something.
I see pictures like every other day of people stacked up on the bridge and just yeah. furious about that.
Again, elections have
oh
consequences
boy.
Because it's even harder to get people engaged at the real local level, which is that city council
I couldn't
level.
Find anybody from my district.
Wow.
What?
Couldn't. Nope.
Hmm.
Tried.
Wow.
So people are waking up, like you said, and don't mess with the mama bears. Oh my gosh, did I saw
these ladies are
people
on fire.
They are. And they're, you know, it's like, you want to do what to my child without my consent?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. Now yeah, that, then a few other words.
What
that we can't
what,
say
what
on
are
the
you
air.
Talking about?
3063. And you know,
what is that?
It's the mandatory vaccine and keeping kids out of school. And what happens, what the argument you get from people the other side is a lot of name calling anti-vaxxers. Nobody I talked to was anti-vaccine.
Nope,
most of these people had vaccinated their children. They just wanted the choice. If there's risk, there must be choice.
Or if they even had kids risk. That have had a reaction, they now can't. They can't.
And so
say
basically keeping you at no religious exemption, the medical exemption was very, very limited.
And then
you were basically are kept out of school. So you're kept out of public school, charter school, parochial school, and I even heard
online school. Yeah. Go figure.
So homeschool was the only one, but then if you're a homeschool kid and you weren't doing that, you weren't allowed to participate. A lot of were participating in the district. So, you know, the smear that was kind of tried to use against these mothers, who some of the testimony I saw had me in tears. I mean, it was so passionate, and so they were so, there was so much fear, and I think that's what I'm seeing a lot of. There's a lot of fear this session because of sort of the heavy-handedness of everything that's coming down. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about 2020, which is why we have a convoy of truckers and loggers again at the Capitol. I think around they may be circling it right now.
Well, they were talking about it. These ladies, though, my goodness.
Yeah, so you've activated loggers, truckers, mothers, dads, moms, dads, parents from all walks of life, from all political ideologies.
And they're not only them, but then other folks with religious, like the Slavic, old Russian believers and whatnot, who typically hadn't gotten much involved in politics because they were kind of afraid of it from where they used to come from. And now are like, whoa, hold on, we got to get involved.
Didn't we try to get away from this kind of thing?
Yeah. So things are changing big time, and we are seeing all kinds of people with their eyes fully wide open going, what is going on here and how do I change it? And then that goes back to why you have to get involved in on a team that's in the game.
And that's the thing, because in order to change the system, you need to get into the system to change it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you have no voice when it comes to that first vote. You have no voice in the primaries, right? A lot of these people you get to vote on, right? If you're an independent, you get a ballot in the general election, and you're like, I don't like any of these people. Well, and you had no way of saying who those people were going to be.
Right.
So you want to change it. Sorry, you got to get on a team that's in the game. And I don't say that like I don't like it. Okay, I was an independent for a lot of years because I couldn't stand either party. Guess what? Sometimes I still can't. But I figured it out that if I want a voice, I got to get on a team that's in the game. And those are the only two teams in the game now.
And that's the thing. You need to be involved, to be active. Sitting on the sidelines, as far as I'm concerned, is no longer an option.
No. And it's not just volunteering and getting involved in the party. I mean, we need people to step up financially. We need people to step up in all kinds of different ways. These medical freedom mamas, a lot of those are young families. You know, they don't have a lot of resources, but they can make cookies and they can go down there with signs and welcome the legislators every morning. They come in waving at them, saying, "Hey, please don't do this to us." I can't tell you the amount of legislators that paid attention to that. And the Slavic folks and the Russian believers and whatnot, the gifts, the things that they would bring down and they would talk to and thank these legislators, they just made a profound impact.
I think it's important to highlight, too, that it was done with grace. They were polite.
Absolutely.
There was no yelling, screaming, finger wagging. And that's not an effective strategy to try to win somebody over to your side.
Not at all.
To berate them and browbeat them.
But a mama sitting there with her child. Yeah. Saying, "Hey, please don't do this to me," as the legislator walks in the building, is a powerful statement.
Yeah, and their testimony was powerful.
We'll check on the status of what's going on at the Capitol here in just a couple minutes during this break. We're with Denise Quinn. She's co-hosting for Brent DeHart today on Newsmakers, and joining us is Marion County Chair, GOP Chair Jeff Hyen. I'm Dave Bourne. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. I'm Dave Bourne. Thanks for joining us today on Newsmakers. Joining me is co-host Denise Quinn and Marion County GOP Chair Jeff Hyen. And log truckers and dump truck drivers and families all gathering on the Capitol at this hour.
It may be noisy.
Still,
they are on the move. I'm monitoring, you know, just for listeners who do, Twitter is a good place to monitor to find out what's going on. Hashtag mm-hmm. OrPaul or Ledge. Yeah, the truckers are, they are driving, passing the Capitol in protest of HB 2020. There are a number of photos of, I mean, hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
And these guys are taking a day off. They're losing a day of pay
right.
to come down here. You know, you hear a lot of times, well, I don't have the time. I have to work. I have right. to do all these things. I think, when you know, if it's important, these guys, their very way of life is threatened by HB 2020.
And this was huge. Yeah. I heard reports that the convoy was 10 miles long.
That's big.
That's a huge statement. They parked all out at the state fairgrounds and they bust them over.
Yeah.
And I think they went and got back their trucks and they came back to the Capitol.
Good.
So that's
if you're
be
trying to get some work done, you might need some earplugs.
Right.
You might.
It reminds me of the song Convoy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Rubber ducky.
Yeah. So the,
oh, you
could, you, yeah, right. You could also follow them, I guess, on hashtag Timber Unity.
Timber Unity. There's a number of hashtags. Some people are like going hashtag crazy out on Twitter. There's a bunch of them.
They always do.
Bottom line is they are here. They are defending their way of life. I mean, it's under assault right now.
Yeah, that 2020, HB 2020, it's a tax, folks.
It is a tax. And the carve outs for, you know, within special, you know, the district's special carve outs for,
yes.
for big corporations and just what it will do to the economy.
And it's interesting. Some of the businesses, there's actually a website out there that talks and shows the businesses that are actually supporting 2020.
Some surprising ones.
And it's kind of surprising, yeah.
Somebody pointed out on Twitter or one of the things that it's actually a relatively small list when you think about how many businesses there are in Oregon. But again, that was another one where you've got, it's almost like there's two separate universes. You've got the Democrats that are promoting this bill and the Republicans, and sort of never the twain shall meet. There was someone, I think, who testified on the floor, and I apologize, I don't remember her name, calling it, you know, something between the woke and the rubes. And I thought she outlined it really in it. Those were her words, and I know what she means by it. You know, you've got the two sides don't seem, there's no middle ground on this at all.
No.
Either you are a climate denier and you don't believe anything if you don't abide by it. And the other side of it, there's no middle ground. And what you've got is the business communities. Businesses, I'm already in speaking to realtor friends of mine and people that know business owners are, the mass exodus has begun.
Yeah, some are leaving.
Some are leaving. I mean, I know a lot of homeowners, people are looking at selling their homes. Granted, it's going to take a couple of years for this fully to flesh out if it passes.
Right.
Before the repercussions really hit.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll be immediate for small businesses.
It will be immediate for small businesses. But
I know one in Salem here, a friend of mine who owns a business. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave his name out of it. But it'll cost him, I think he said, $9,000 a year.
Wow.
And where do you do that on the margins that most small businesses have?
Which are razor thin.
Right. And they've lowered, you know, they say, oh, it's over $1 million, whatever. These must be the rich people. Have you looked at what the bottom line on a small business is lately? There's a lot of them that bring in net a couple million dollars.
Right.
It doesn't take, quote, that much to do that. These guys have 10, 12 employees.
Right.
What's that going to do to their ability to hire? To have you know, inventory, all that kind of stuff. If I all of a sudden have to find $9,000 and take it from somewhere,
that'd be an employee or two.
Could be.
And then the regulations and trying to follow all the laws and the regulations and the fees and the taxes and everything else, and just how onerous it is to be a business owner. Then you look at, I mean, let's just look at, you know, natural gas prices. We were all encouraged to go to natural gas because it was cheaper and cleaner. And now, you know, that's going to be going up. So the average consumer is going to feel this, maybe incrementally and slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But you are going to eventually feel it. And probably by that time, the people that are putting this in now will be out of office. And so there will not be any direct.
I think I saw a report that within a year, it will raise your gas prices by 21 cents a gallon. There was a report that someone provided out there, one of the legislators, a lot of good information.
Yeah.
These legislators have been on our side, have absolutely been fighting tooth and nail against this. And of course, which has brought the potential for another walkout, because it's, what else do you do?
There's not a lot of tools in the toolkit for Republicans. I mean, you can vote no. It's been sort of...
They've been judicious with it, though.
They have been smart. Some, and, you know, you can get it on the record. There's been eloquent floor speeches. Watching the floor debate for 2020 in the House was fascinating, because it was so, again, the two sides are so polar opposite. And it's just, it's fascinating to watch one speech passionately defending HB 2020, one passionately opposed to it.
Right. And how, you'd think the independent party is like totally independent, right. But the IPO, we've seen some things out there. One guy said he was leaving the party, the independent party, to become a Republican, yeah. because all he was seeing on what they stood for was, it was just basically another Democrat channel. So it's like, whoa, okay, we'll take them. Come on over.
2020 is going to be fascinating because there's a lot of disaffected, very disenfranchised and sort of ticked off Democrats that are not quite sure what they want to do.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And trying to look for a home.
Yeah. And then you've got, of course, the national politics, which I don't really get into much. No. I'm trying to focus local here. That's going to have its effect. But by and large, folks, you need to look local, because what your local school boards, water boards, fire boards, city councils, those people right there, you know, the taxes and different things that come out of those local boards and commissions affect you almost as much as national.
City Council, Salem City Council has two items that are on the board that are going to go through. In fact, on Friday, we're going to have Raquel Moore Green, who's on the budget committee for the City of Salem, come in and talk about what those are and to really go into detail on those, because those are the things that affect your pocketbook immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And you have the most say. I mean, you can run into these people at, you know, the grocery store or whatever. And yeah, it's a much more direct government, local control. So we're this has been a great conversation. An hour is just not enough time. There's so much to cover. Again, if you're not following Twitter, definitely get out there. There's lots of great video, lots of information about what's happening. So Jeff, again, just to circle back to, you are Marion County GOP chair.
Right.
While we close out this hour, what are some things that people, if they are interested in getting involved, can maybe do with the county?
First thing, see, it's Wednesday today, right? Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m., where we have our monthly meeting, we'll be electing bonus delegates for the platform convention, mm-hmm. right? You have to have been a Republican for 6 months to qualify to be able to do that.
Okay.
So that's going on. We meet, check our website out, www.marioncountygop.org. Mm-hmm. Okay, we meet down at the VFW Hall, have a great relationship with them. So that's that. That's Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I've got myself going every which way but sideways lately. It seems I have a publicist. Thank you, Tammy. but yes, I will be, first of all, there's a local church who's actually getting in the mix here. Word of Life Church. Great pastor. Had lunch with him. They're doing a movie called Monumental. If you've never seen this movie, it's open. Go down there on Portland Road out there. Look them up. It's the 26th. It's on a Wednesday night. I think it's the 26th.
Yep.
7 o'clock. You can watch that movie for free. And I think they even said something about childcare, but check with that people on that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to speak there the next week on the 3rd.
So what are you going to talk about?
Follow a lot of stuff we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Some strategy things on how, if people want to get involved, how they can do that. The local, you know, the first vote importance, mm-hmm, how to get involved, what a PCP does, how to play that long game. So I've done a couple of videos that are out there on YouTube under MCGOP and our Marion CoGOP, I think is our YouTube channel. And we did a Facebook live stream, really been out there advocating for these mama bears that are wanting to get involved. A lot of them, no political experience. They don't know nothing about politics other than they are mad.
And they probably didn't necessarily want to. No, they didn't. Now they are.
Yeah. And now they're learning how this game works, and some of them are ready to run for office. I mean, they are ready to go.
Hey, you know, having eager people wanting to get out there, get involved is so important. So it's good that Marion County GOP has lots of ways for people to get active and get engaged.
It's a problem I am delighted to have.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay. So, yeah, come on down.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity, because there's so much going on.
Yeah, I learned
a lot.
A lot
of people
too.
Don't know.
Yeah. Lots of ways to find out. We're all over Facebook, all over social media. Check us out.
We do that well.
Yeah, we do.
Log truckers and dump trucks and mad mama bears.
Yeah, don't mess with the mama bears. That's all I got to tell you. Do not mess with them.
They're around the Capitol right now, so you can check it out. All right. Well, thank you, Marion County GOP Chair Jeff Hyen, for joining us today. And Denise Quinn, as always, thanks for stepping in and co-hosting today.
Always a pleasure.
For Brent DeHart, I'm Dave Bourne. And this is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.